The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
You are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Stir up your might and come to save us.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to the light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. You may be seated. There are two aspects of the Word of God in general and the Gospel in particular that we see and are often tempted to take for granted: certainty and confidence. And the reason is because our old sinful man doesn't fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We can't do that on our own. And not only that, but the devil is around lying and trying, as he always had, to get us to doubt the Word of God. Did God really say was not just something he said in the Garden of Eden? He still does it. It's the tactic of the devil every day. And finally, to boot, the world wants us to take our gaze off Christ, off his word, and buy into and live what it calls wisdom, which is fleeting at best on a good day and in league with the lies of the devil at worst. Even in the church, we see attempts to focus on ourselves, looking inwardly for our certainty and confidence. Now, today in the gospel reading, John the Baptizer was in prison. He wasn't a murderer. He wasn't a thief. No, he was a preacher. He preached to people. And it wasn't simply that he made them feel bad. He rightly accused them as the messenger of God in their sin. The rulers of the Jews didn't like him calling out their sin and to look to the coming Christ. There was real substantial content to his preaching. He called them a brood of vipers, after all. The law of God he preached called them to repentance. Herod also didn't like John the Baptist when John called him to repentance as well for his vile deeds. John afflicted the comforted. And where did it get him? It got him thrown in prison and eventually killed because of the words that came out of his mouth. But people went out to hear John. They wanted to hear him preach. He drew crowds. It was a sight to see. There were no football games on in the afternoon, so might as well see this guy preaching out in the wilderness. So Jesus goes on further in Matthew's gospel reading. He says, As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than the prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So Jesus asked the crowds before him why they heard John preach. He called them to examine their hearts and asked them, in a sense, what do you expect to hear from a faithful prophet of God? Were you wanting a show? Were you wanting to be entertained? Were you expecting him just to make you feel good and tell you something great about yourself? No, John's job was simple. He was the messenger who was prepared the way before the Lord. And what happened? Well, what did this Jesus do to whom he was pointing? Well, we hear the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. So it was just as all the prior prophets, all leading up to John, had said. The Lord made good on his promises, for he had come and did all things well. John was pointing people to the sure and certain word of God, and was pointing them to the Christ, the one who would come. Jesus was, Jesus is who he said he was. And he was and is what the prophets said he would be. This is certain. The word incarnate, Jesus, points the people to the scriptures to give them certainty, even as he tells them that John was who God sent him to be, the messenger, the voice crying out. God's word gives certainty. And in these words, God's faithfulness is shown. The Lord kept his word to his people. The promised one who would deliver his people had come. He is the one who confirmed who he is with miracles, with signs such as giving sight to the blind, mobility to the lame, hearing to the deaf, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, preaching the good news that the poor in spirit would inherit the kingdom of God, which is where true riches, eternal riches, are found. So for John the Baptist, this is what he had been preaching. He was simply pointing people to Jesus to find their confidence in this sure and certain Savior. And he was calling them to repentance, to turn from their sin and fix their eyes on the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, just as he said on the banks of the Jordan, pointing them to the one who even raises the dead, as Jesus himself would lay down his life and raise it up again on the third day. And for John, who would die because of what he said for the sake of God, there's great comfort for him in prison and reason to rejoice. Jesus is certainly the promised Christ, and there's a confidence to go even to death confessing this. And so you think about this for your life. There is certainty in the gospel, because without certainty, there's no comfort. And that's the goodness and beauty of God's word. God speaks to you, you have what he says. And not only that, but you cling to God's word and you have the assurance that God is faithful in all that he says and does. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand, will remain forever. This very morning, you have God at work for you in your life, and you can be certain. God spoke to you in those words through the pastor whom he sent to you to be his messenger. I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God is speaking to you right now that your Lord Jesus is the promised one who has come for you and has redeemed you, just as John was pointing the people to. You can be certain that Christ has died for you because he gave his life as a ransom for you. And by his perfect obedient life, by his atoning sacrifice for your sin, by his resurrection, God says this is for you, all for you. Your sin is forgiven. You are righteous in his sight on account of Jesus. You have eternal life. This is what you hear, what you see through the word of God. And so the promises of God ring through the darkness of sin and death and give life. This morning, God is at work. He's speaking. And at our next service, four brothers are baptized into Christ. This is what God is doing for them. Baptism is a gift and a certainty of eternal life because it's all the work of God. It all rests on God. It's all the grace of God for these brothers, just as it is for you in the waters of your baptism. God has attached his promises, his certain promises that you can have confidence in because these are God's words and they're for you. God says in Mark 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Peter preached in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. God says in 1 Peter 3, baptism, which corresponds to this, the ark and the flood, now saves you. not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. God beautifully proclaims in Titus 3, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly, through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And you know the scripture references. They go on. The promises of God resound. God gives forgiveness. God gives life. God gives salvation. And you can be certain and look your whole life to those promises. So when your sin tempts you, when the devil tries to assault you, when he tries to lie, when the world tries to get you to doubt what God has given, listen to Jesus in a similar manner today. What does Jesus say? Go back to those words. Trust them. Be certain that you are a child of God, that you are an heir of eternal life, for God has done it, and he will not lie to you or forsake you. The grass withers, but the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. And be confident, then, in God's word and what he has done for you in Jesus. So everything that was promised by the prophets is fulfilled in Jesus, and it belongs to you. And that means everything. Find comfort in Jesus because he is your redeemer. Sin, death, and the devil, they afflict you and they want nothing more for you to suffer in hell for all eternity. This reality of being in this world, seeing all of sin and its consequences around you. But your Lord is the Lord who has come, the Lord who is here now, and the Lord who is coming again. Have comfort and rejoice in this life even now. The gospel gives you this certainty and you have confidence. You have the confidence, trusting in the word of God, to go through this life as one who has Christ, as one who knows what your future holds. And this way you hear those words of the introit, and they don't just teach you, but they define you as you walk through this world. Rejoice in the Lord always. God commands you to do that, but he also gives you the reason and the substance of the joy that gives you comfort. Fixing your eyes on Christ crucified and risen, you see, you know that your sin is forgiven, that you stand righteous before the throne of God. You fix your gaze on Jesus and see what you have in him now and what awaits you in the future. This is who you are as his baptized people. And going through this world, looking toward the last day, the devil prowls around seeking to devour you, and he wants you to find the joys and things that are outside of Christ, which will pass away, will not remain. As Jesus told you in the gospel reading last week, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But remember this Sunday just what he said last Sunday as well. Watch yourselves, let your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Because Jesus knows you, he knows the dangers you face as you go through this life as his dear child. Listen to the Lord and heed his call. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and know who you are as God's word confronts you in your sin, and go running to Christ for your forgiveness, rejoicing all the way in what God has done for you and the new life he gives you. For the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh, when they tempt you to run away from God, to turn inwardly, and to turn God into the enemy, silence them. Rejoice and find your confidence in Jesus. Look to him where he has promised to be for you, even now, the sure and certain means of grace of his word and sacraments. And be comforted in Christ and find your joy in him. And so will you always see this comfort and joy in this life? Not in always an emotional sense. You will at times, though. But when you see Jesus, when you see all that he has done for your salvation, you see that you have been given eternal life, that he will guard you and keep you in this forever, then you will see that there is true lasting joy. As you live out what it means to be a baptized child of God, looking to him at all times. And you know, the more you look to Christ and outside of yourself, the more joy you see and find yourself rejoicing in any and every circumstance. It happens, and God does grant you to see this joy in the faith that he has given to you. God's word becomes something for you as you go through this life too. You see God's faithfulness to his promises that he has made to you, and you know that each day the Lord is faithful and that he will always be faithful. So take heart, dear people of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And so, people of God, it's Advent. The Lord has come, and he comes to you now, as we see that focus of Advent this Sunday, and he is coming again. The day for rejoicing is here. Jesus has redeemed you by his blood, and you are an heir of eternal life. Always remember that. Always cling to it. Be absolutely certain that Christ is yours and you are his forever. And what a joy this is to know and have this and to confess this in the world. You are a Christian, and in times of great happiness you rejoice. In times of great sorrow you rejoice. In the humdrum day-to-day things of this life you rejoice. When death stares at you and your life on this side of the grave is coming to an end, or you're sitting in prison with your head about to be cut off for the sake of Christ, you rejoice. For you are confident in your Lord Jesus, who is your life. And so Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them." Rejoice in Jesus and find your joy in him. And have a clear conscience to stand before God. What a wonderful thing to have placed before you this Advent, the certainty of who you are in Jesus. The devil, death, sin, persecution, strife, violence, sickness, all of these things, their works will come to an end. John the Baptist lost his head for the sake of Christ, but the Lord raises bodies from the grave to immortality and incorruption. And your future is certain. Your joy and confidence are your Lord, as you will look forward to that day when he comes again, not in the lowliness of the manger or hidden in means, but when he comes again in great glory as only he can do. The Lord has come. Rejoice in what you have in Jesus, and be confident this day as you trust his word and go through this life, knowing that Jesus is coming again to take you to a comfort beyond compare and a rejoicing that will last forever. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.